1 Samuel chapter 18, continue looking at our Summer with the Shepherd series. Look in verse 5. Begin reading in verse 5. 1 Samuel 18, begin reading in verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul was very wroth, and the saying was displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house of David and played with his hand. At other times there was come a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Verse 12 or verse 13. Therefore Saul removed from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judea loved David because he went out and came in before them. Let me ask you to bow your heads. Let's pray as we look at this few verses. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of thy holy word. Lord, we thank you that you are in charge of everything. No matter what's going on in this world, you're in charge. And we know that. We ask you to bless. We ask you to have your way during this next few minutes as we open up your scripture and look at David. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. I'm going to look tonight at in the presence of true greatness. We measure greatness in a lot of ways in our society. You can measure greatness by the amount of money somebody has, the size of their house or car, or anything like that. Athletes, actors, all that stuff. But to me, that's not greatness. What's greatness is what God considers greatness. True greatness is not measured by what you achieve in life, but how you live your life. Perfect example is Job. With all that happened in Job's life, he didn't curse God. Question God, but who doesn't? He didn't curse God. True greatness shows when you go through these storms of life. In this passage, David's just a young man. He's fresh off the battle. 2 weeks ago, we saw how he slayed Goliath. And he was built up, and people were considering David great because of his stand. Now, because of the great victory, David reached a new fame. And we'll see that. He made a new foe. We'll see that. And he made a new friend in Jonathan. First few verses of chapter 18 I did not read. I've been accused by Jason and Kayla because they're going through this book in Sunday school that I'm skipping some things, like the evil spirit that was put on Saul. Jason, I'm not skipping it. I'm letting you handle that in Sunday school. God put it on him. Now, something else I'm not skipping over, I'll let Jason handle, is the relationship between David and Jonathan. It's been perverted through the years. That is a beautiful relationship of two friends. And we'll go from there. Y'all with me? Any other information, you see Jason Wood when he gets back from his South Carolina trip. He has all the information on this book. The first thing I want to look at is the presentation of David's life. Three times in 5, 14, and 30, it says he behaved himself wisely. That phrase is important. That means somebody is walking properly to a person who knows how to carry themselves. It speaks of more than manners. It speaks of a person who watches what they do, watches what they say, Watch this, how they carry themselves. It's the idea of David was accurately and walking carefully. Ephesians 5:15 says that we are to walk carefully. We see here that he behaved himself well in the spite of promotions. After David had defeated Goliath, fame spread throughout. People began to notice there was something different about this kid. David wasn't just a shepherd boy anymore. He had slain Goliath, and David began to rise up in the ranks, if you will. When God allows us to see a victory, we have to beware of pride. And there's a lot of pride behind these pulpits. If you're friends with as many preachers as I am, there's churches that hold 100 people, they get 300 saved every week. There's churches that hold less than we do, and they have people join every week. This happened, listen to me, whatever they do is whatever they do, but there's a lot of pride behind these pulpits, a lot of pride in those pews. I've been here all my life. That preacher ain't going to change nothing. I hadn't heard that here yet, but I'm sure I will. But I've heard it. Preacher, I've been here all my life. My grandma went here and my great-grandma went here. And you've changed things. We used to start out with prayer. Now we start out with a song. And you've changed. That's what I think about that. You say, preacher, I've been off for a week, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. We ate good. Y'all saw my picture in the beach. I went to the beach. Evidence is there that I went to the beach. But when God allows you to get a victory, you have to be careful for pride. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He behaved himself well in spite of life's problems. Now you have to understand, Saul hated David. Hated him. He was out to kill him. Saul was out to kill him. But what was David doing when Saul was trying to throw a javelin at him? Playing his harp. Doing his job. Doing what he was called to do. David could have been bitter. He could have went through a whole process of things. But listen to me. Getting revenge was not on God's agenda. David knew, I've got to do my job. I've got to do my job. You say, preacher, somebody hurt my feelings. Get over it. Do your job. Serve God. Huh? Y'all with me? Well, I've been hurt too, preacher. Well, okay, we all have. Now we have something in common. Strum your harp. Remember, we don't serve others just because we're serving others. We serve others because we serve God. Serving God is part of serving others. And you have to understand that people are going to hurt you. They're going to say something that you don't like. And you're going to walk out of here and you're going to have your head down like Eeyore. You know what? Pick your head up. God didn't hurt your feelings. Y'all hearing me? I hadn't preached. Now y'all going to have to get with me. Some of y'all is already mad at me. Get with me now. David continued to carry himself well. Often it's the problems of life that throw us off course. Some unexpected tragedy will go down. Something will happen in our life. But what shows in our life is when we, as Christians, say, you know what? No matter what happens, Morgan, we're going to rise to the top. No matter what goes on in your life, Beverly, you're going to rise to the top, not because of you, because of him. Because of him. It's all about him. Everybody's worried about Israel and Iran. I'm not worried about Israel and Iran. Because I serve a God who's in control. I've been asked, preacher, is this the end? I don't know. And guess what? You don't either. The TikTok experts don't know. The Facebook experts don't know. Oh, I've read so much stuff this week. It's like, oh my word. Will y'all get in a hole and go away? But I have to, Dorothy, I have to listen to it to see how stupid these people are. Listen to me. The Bible says nobody knows. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You better get ready. It may be next week. It may be 50 years from now. I don't know, and you don't either. But we have to have our house in order. A sign of true greatness is no matter what happens in this world, we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep serving. We're going to keep doing the things that God wants us to do. Are y'all with me tonight? He behaved himself well in the spite of life's possibilities. David, through the providence of God, had become more popular than Saul. David had married into Saul's family. David had become friends with Saul's son. David had prospered. He was in a position people were pushing David up the ladder, but we have to be very careful not to toot our own horn. You didn't see David doing that. He don't do that right here. We have to understand our duty is to live for the Lord and make a proper presentation of our lives before others. After all, 1 Corinthians is still in the Bible. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful. That's the exact version that I read at every wedding I do. Because love is so important. David may have been a young man, but he set an example for people to follow. He lived wise and balanced himself for the glory of God. But number two, the priorities of David's life. Another example of this young man is his priorities. These were not easy for David. He's been uprooted from his home. He wasn't allowed to go back home. He was found instant fame by killing Goliath, yet David remains faithful. Here's some things that happened to David. In verse 10, David was surrendered. David knew the king was against him. David knew, but yet he still walked into that throne room and he did his job. David was steadfast. In his hatred, Saul attempted to kill. But notice the phrase, and David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul tried to kill David and David ran away. Now look, you come in here Sunday with a shotgun, I'm out. I'm going to resign. If you put it to my head, I'm out. I'll see y'all. Bye. Y'all would do the same thing if I come in here Sunday, right? Are y'all hearing me tonight? Some of y'all need to wake up. David continued serving God despite his life being up, that Saul was out to get him. I would have been done. That would have finished me up. But David was also submissive. Even after Saul attempted to take his life, he kept on serving the evil king. He took his new assignment. He carried it out to the best of his ability. There are times in church when you just don't want to serve God anymore. You're tired. You're wore out. I've been there. But you know what? You're doing it for the king. You're doing it for the king. There was a time when I was associate pastor at Sequoia. I was over it. I was over it. But I kept serving God because no doors were opening. My phone wasn't ringing. There wasn't nobody calling me to come preach. I just kept being faithful to what God was doing and kept telling God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Maybe wish I'd have stayed at Sequoia a little longer. But you know, there's times when you just get tired, but we have to remain submissive. In these verses, David set a good example of what a difference is between an average Christian and a great Christian. It comes down to priorities. You see, we do the things that are important to us. Those things you attach value to determine the priority of life. Everything in your life is touched by this principle. Here you go. Your church attendance will determine what church is priority in your life. Your attendance will show that. The same is true for Bible study. The same is true for prayer. The same is true for witnessing. What you think is important, you'll do it. Amen, ouch, oh me, uh-oh. That's the truth. That is the truth. What you determine as a priority in your life will be the number one priority But for so many, it's not God, but it must be God. In these last days, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of God as we see the day approaching. You know what that means? That means as you get closer and closer to the end that everybody's screaming and hollering about, we ought to be faithful. This place ought to be full Sunday. Will it? Probably not. Well, preacher, my toe hurts. Well, I had to go and do this. Listen to me. As you see the day approaching, we need to get ourselves together. Y'all hearing me tonight? David's standard of living is from one which we could all take a lesson. David had just determined himself, I'm going to be faithful no matter what. There was a time in my life in the ministry in one particular church that I just determined myself, God, you're not going to let me go. I'm praying to get out of here and you won't let me go. So I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to preach and I'm going to do the things I'm supposed to do. And Lord, when you're ready to get me out of here for a year and a half, I begged God to get me out and he wouldn't. So why didn't you just leave? Because it wasn't God's time. If I'd have left, it would have been a disaster. But when God was ready, he released me. But the whole time, I was faithful. There's sometimes in your life, you've got so many things in your life. You've got a bucket load of stuff going on in your life. And that's when a lot of people say, I just don't want to do it anymore. No. That's when you need to get closer to God. Take your wheelbarrow. Bring your wheelbarrow with you. Bring it with you to church. Then when you leave it here. Y'all hearing me tonight? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Christians, keep laboring. Keep telling, keep sharing, keep doing the things of God. Continue to be faithful. Number three, the perfection of David's life. David's greatness can also be seen in how he was perceived by the people around him. We see here the private perception of David's life. How King Saul perceived David was this. He hated him. Why did he hate him? Because he was jealous. He was jealous of what David was becoming. He saw a young man who was walking with God. He saw a young man who carried himself well. He saw a young man who was ambitious, faithful, clean. And Saul hated his guts. But the public perception, how the people of Israel perceived David. Saul's private perception of David was one thing, but the public was a whole different way. Verse 5, Saul's servants, the people in the king's palace saw how David carried himself. They were impressed. Saul's subject, all the people saw God's hand on David's life. They were impressed. Saul's son and daughter, even Saul's own children saw something in David. And the personal perception, how David perceived himself. The only person in Israel who seems to be unaware of David's greatness is David. He didn't see that. He didn't understand that. When he is mentioned, he doesn't show that. He has no pride at this point in his life. David speaks about his own unworthiness many times. Listen to this. This is not my quote. The person who possesses true greatness will be the last one to know it. The person who possesses true greatness will be the last one to know it. I served for 16 years with Brother David, and he had that attitude. He didn't think he was great. He thought he failed in a lot of ways. And I followed him, and I listened to him, and I saw how he dealt with people. I saw how somebody would come and just beat him to death over something. He'd say, I'm sorry, sister. I'll try to do better. I'm thinking, throw punch him. Body slam him. Elbow him like Dusty Rhodes would have. I saw this one woman, Linda, and she blistered him. Told him he wasn't preaching the word of God and all this stuff. And he said, you know what? Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. I'm thinking, are you serious? And I looked at him. He said, listen to me. He said, I'm furious. He said, but I don't let it show. I'm going to go get off by myself. Me and the Lord's going to have a talk. He taught me a lot about things like that, because I've learned a long time ago, you ain't going to please everybody. I always tried to please my mama, and I always tried to please my little beach bunny here. But you're not going to please everybody as a pastor. It's not going to happen. But you know who I'm more concerned about than anything? It's pleasing God. Amen. Somebody might not like what you do. Are you pleasing God? Somebody might not like what I'm doing. Am I pleasing God? You see, all around there's plenty of people who want to criticize. But these people saw something in David. I mean, I keep going back because this is an important part of my life. All the years I spent at Sequoia working, serving, doing the things of God, when David made me his assistant and ordained me, there were people that I loved, that I trusted, that I believed in, that were talking. He's in it just for money. I never made one dime out of that church, ever. David straightened them out. That wasn't the issue. But you know what? It hurt me. I looked at David. He said, you better go on. He said, put it off like a duck's back. And serving with him, you had to, because he could be kind of rough in how he talked sometimes, but that's okay. But Apostle Paul said this, I'm become a fool in glory, and you have compelled for me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not that he commendeth himself, he himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. In fact, it is unwise to listen closely to what others say about you, whether it's good or bad. I mean, I can remember preaching when I was just getting started. I might have preached that Moses took the children of Israel around the walls of Jericho. I mean, I might have. I don't really know at that time. But, you know, people would come out. There's some ladies. Oh, that was the greatest sermon I've ever heard. I look back and think, them poor, poor people. Them poor. And I feel sorry for y'all, too, sometimes, because you never know. But it doesn't pay, whether it's good or bad, to hear what people say about you. Because you need to focus on what the Lord says. Are y'all with me tonight? Number four, and we're almost done. The power of David's life. David presented himself in the right way. He had his priorities in the right order. He had a proper perception. He had a right relationship. Let's look at that. David's relationship with the Lord. David was in a relationship with God to where he could say, the Lord, he is my shepherd. He was in a right relationship. He knew God in a personal way. He was not basing his faith on what his daddy Jesse taught him. No. He was basing his faith on what he knew about God. David's resources in the Lord. God was with him. David was able to do all he did because God was with him. He had favor with man because God was with him. If you want to be great in life, the first step is not education. It's not athleticism. It's not any of that. It's your relationship with God. You know what we need right now in our country? More people drawing closer to God. Yeah, we need people to get saved, but we need the Christians that are saved to get in a right relationship with God and not afraid to tell people, hey, if you don't straighten your life up, when this thing's over that you're so worried about, you're going to go to hell. Don't be afraid to tell them. You still get mad at me. I'd rather somebody get mad at me and hear the gospel than not get mad at me and not hear the gospel. Y'all hearing me? Don't be afraid to tell them. Don't be afraid to tell them that. So don't worry about your name in lights or headlines. True greatness is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and living for Him. David's life was truly great, not because of what he did, but because of who he served. I've said it since I've been here, and I'll keep saying it. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. It's all about him. Let me ask you to bow your heads for prayer. David's greatness. We're building up this young man's life, and we're going to continue to see some great things that he does. I don't know, whatever the Lord is dealing with you about tonight, don't be afraid to talk to him about it. David wasn't afraid to talk to God about it. You don't be afraid to talk to God about it. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for a life like David. As we study his life, as we look into his life, as we learn from his life, I just pray, God, that you just help us to take what we hear and use it for your glory. We all want to be great, but I want to be great not because of me. I want my life to be great because of you. I don't want, my daddy used to say this, he used to tell me, don't worry about so much about life where you endure it, enjoy it. And we can truly enjoy life by serving you. We love you. We thank you for these people, this congregation, this church, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. Help us now as we go into this time of prayer. A lot of our people need prayer tonight. We ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.